always been kind of chirpy, definitely always talked a lot. And I would say that I had a weird kind of mixture of both nerdiness and precociousness. I spent a lot of time with my nose in books, a lot of time in my head, and a lot of, I read the newspaper when I was little and like watched the news and stuff. And I was really into like history and politics and stuff, but I was also kind of out in the neighborhood, out in the city, kind of wandering and exploring and like finding new stuff.
If I was involved in a group activity, for some reason it felt like a safe space to open up a little bit more. And so in elementary school, in my sixth grade in particular, I was involved in like library helpers at school. I was in theater at my little school, the holiday choir, and I was student council president that year. If there was a focus and we were all working towards the same cause, it was easy for me to kind of let people in a little bit more.
I have lots of siblings. The closest ones are my two younger brothers, who were always in the system with me, whether they lived with me at the time from placement to placement or we were separated, we were always really close. Myself being the oldest, I was, so to speak, the ringleader when we'd get into a little bit of trouble here and there when we were younger. And then as we got older, I kind of led the way with, trying to set the right example for them, because I knew following in my mother's footsteps and their father, who my mother was with most of my life, was probably the wrong idea as far as, having someday having my own family and being able to do something productive with myself. And but they both have really been able to do right by themselves. So it makes me proud that I was the big brother that they looked up to. And both of my younger brothers are 4 and 6 inches taller than me, so I'm actually technically looking up to my little brothers now.
I am one of seven. Four of us were taken into the child welfare system at the same time. From the four of us, we were split into two sets, and I was placed with my sister, who was with me for most of my time in foster care. We were just like two peas in a pod. I mean, we always had like bunk beds, and they always had us in the same room. We were just kind of each other's strength if we weren't having a good day. I loved school. It was kind of my escape from anything else that I was dealing with, was spending time at school. And it was partly due to the great teachers that I had. I was very lucky to go to schools. I mean, just regular public schools, but schools where there were dedicated teachers and good libraries and that kind of stuff. So I was big on reading and writing, and I always thought I would kind of write a book or do something like that. Even when I was younger, I wrote poetry. I was actually published as a poet when I was like 12. And I also tutored other kids in school. So from about third grade to fifth grade, I got the opportunity to tutor younger students in reading and spelling because I was always really good at spelling, did a lot of spelling bees, that kind of stuff.
7 years old, I did promise myself, school was the way out. It was my ticket out of my living situation. And I had a map of the United States, and in Florida, there was a big Mickey Mouse head. So I promised myself that's where I'd go to college someday. I got older, I worked harder and harder and was the class president 1 year and played varsity football and baseball so that I'd have this clean, spotless, awesome resume and, for college when I was applying. And I got accepted to every college I wanted to, from Northeastern in Boston to University of Miami and University of Tampa, where I ended up going was Tampa. And that's 46 to 52 miles from Disney World. So I kind of, set my goal very young and, worked my butt off to get to it. I might have been the dirty kid in school, but on the baseball field, we're all getting dirty. On the football field, we're all getting dirty. So I want to be better than the other kids. I want to catch the ball. I want to hit the ball. And I'd practice on my own time a lot to be able to do that. So when I would play for school and stuff and go to school, it was, all right, Mike's here. Hey, he's the captain of the football team. He's the captain of the baseball team. So that felt really good.
Okay, so 11 and 12, I was in sixth grade at 11, and so I was a huge dreamer at that time. I was at the peak of involvement in school and in grades, and so I wanted to graduate from a state school. I wanted to be a lawyer. That's what I wanted to do when I was then. I didn't know how I was going to get there, but I just knew that I wanted to do something like that. I was certain I would go to college. That was something that I thought about a lot, where I wanted to go to college, if I wanted to move away, if I wanted to live at home. I asked people all the time where they went to college so that I could find out more about all the different colleges. Back then, absolutely, I had a lot of goals. And now that I'm older, I'm finding that, you know, although they're different, I'm still doing college and all that stuff. And those are dreams that have really followed me through my life.
There were some teachers that kind of took an interest in me, that saw whatever potential was there despite the behaviors and whatnot. So, you know, I had a wrestling coach that was really had high expectations for me. Like, didn't matter what I was dealing with at home. You know, when I came to wrestling practice, I needed to work hard and, you know, give 100%, you know, show up on time and stay for the full practice and show up on Saturdays ready to wrestle and take the exercise regimen seriously. And similarly, I had a debate coach when I quit wrestling who had the same kind of investment in my potential. Took me out and spent his own money buying me a suit so I could debate on the weekends looking presentable, and really invested a lot of energy that he didn't have to into making sure that I was prepared and maximized the kind of potential I had to do well. And then, of course, you know, my foster mother put up with a lot of madness. So I was in congregate care for maybe like 6 months after getting removed, and then finally got placed at a foster home. Continued to be crazy, you know, drinking, using drugs, getting arrested, writing graffiti, getting into fights, doing whatever. She made it clear that it wasn't okay that I was choosing to do those things, but that didn't mean she was going to boot me because of it. You know, I would have to pay the consequences, get grounded, not use the phone, have TV, etc. But that didn't mean she didn't care, and it didn't mean that she was going to give up on me.